Christchurch, New Malden, Sunday, the 5th of July, 2026. 11 o'clock service. Katie Loughman speaking on the place of work in God's world.
Imagine if there's someone you know and you often see them behaving badly. Perhaps they're being unscrupulous or they're being unkind in their personal life. And then you find out that that person is a Christian. They go to church regularly, and they talk about following Jesus. And that comes as a surprise to you because their actions don't match their words. You start to suspect that maybe they're a Christian on Sunday, but they don't bother about it the rest of the week. The beliefs they sing about and pray about in church don't actually affect their work or the way they spend their money, or what they do in their free time. In other words, that person is a hypocrite. I think everyone has a natural aversion to hypocrisy. When we see someone behaving like that, it actually discredits Christianity and even Jesus himself, because it lets people think that if that's what Christians are like, then it's a pretty poor religion. Britain, among other countries, has the reputation of being a Christian country, and yet there are all sorts of things that people do here that are not Christian. That means it's easy for people looking on to think that if it goes on in a Christian country, then Christianity condones it. And that's why some people in Muslim countries come to believe that Christianity is an immoral religion. It all boils down to hypocrisy. What we do, the way we behave, our attitude in our everyday life affects the way people see Christianity and even Jesus. Instead of that Sunday weekday divide or the church office divide, we should be like a stick of rock, the same all the way down. What you see at the surface is the same as what's in our heart. Now, all this might seem fairly obvious, but what does that look like in practice? That's what this sermon series is about, how we as Christians go about our lives, our work, our leisure, our attitude towards animals, and where do those things fit into God's kingdom? We know that God's kingdom encompasses every part of our life and everything in the world. So how does God see these things? And what's their place in his world? I think we can start from the first principle that everything we have is a gift from God. And our attitude towards everything stems from that. So let's talk about work. When I was a child, I used to hate work. I didn't like my schoolwork. I didn't like housework. And the prospect of spending all day, every day going to work when I grew up just filled me with horror. If you'd told me that the drying up or my GCSE revision were gifts from God, I would have found it hard to believe. But fortunately, my attitude changed as I got older, and I discovered all the good things that can come from working in a job that you're well suited to, and the satisfaction of keeping your own home clean and tidy. Yes, I have to admit now, work truly is a gift from God. Humans were created to work. Adam and Eve worked in the Garden of Eden, and because it was paradise, it wasn't hard. And it was fulfilling because they worked alongside God in his creation. After the fall, it all got much harder, but we humans still have that innate need to feel productive and useful, doing things that affect the world. Yes, work is a need, and a job is a gift. Of course, Jesus had a job, and in the Bible, he tells a lot of stories about work. Here are just a few from Luke. There's the parable of the talents, the lost sheep, the shrewd manager, the tenants in the vineyard, and of course, the sower. And there are lots more. Maybe we can learn from Jesus about work from these stories that he told. What do they teach us about our jobs and the world of work? Well, actually, all those parables are not really about work at all. They're all parables about God's kingdom. In each one, Jesus is using work to teach us about God's word, world. So that leads to the question, what can our own work teach us about God's kingdom? And that's not just paid work. We all have some kind of work that we do, whether it's in the home or with our families or any other kind of work, work we do here in church. I'm not just talking about commercial work. So what does our work teach us about God's kingdom? And I think that that's something that we can ask ourselves as we go about our various jobs and see what difference it makes to our work when we look at it through those eyes. Or more to the point, can we reverse engineer what we know about God's kingdom to see what it can teach us about work? Well, firstly, one of the things we know about God's kingdom is that it comes into the world through us, through God's presence in our hearts. The church is God's body, Jesus' body here on earth. So that means that we, as members of his church, are also Jesus' body in the office or the classroom or the kitchen or wherever we work. Wherever we go, we're channeling God's kingdom into the place where we are, bringing salt and light into the world around us. And of course, that includes the workplace. So if we do nothing else, just remembering that will help us to have the right attitude, sprinkling small gestures of kindness, shining with a helpful willingness, generally making the whole place a better place to be. As Jesus' body, we're stewards of God's world, with the same commission that Adam received to work it and take care of it. So God is our boss. Paul agrees. He says twice in Ephesians and in Colossians that whatever we do, we should do it wholeheartedly, as if we're doing it for God, because we are. Would your work change if you had that in mind? We do Jesus' work wherever we are. Everything we do is his. So I could say, I must go on my computer and send Jesus' invoices. Does that make sense? Yes, I think it does. And one reason it does is because that's how God provides for me, through the invoices my customers pay to my company. And more generally, he provides for our needs through the salary we get from our work or the pension that our work has given us. So our work at our jobs is God's work of providing for us. And as it's Jesus' work that we're doing, as stewards of his world and as part of his body here on earth, then of course we should do it wholeheartedly, as Paul says. And we would want to do it with honesty and compassion and to be conscientious. Another way of putting it is that we work like Jesus would. And that gives it integrity, makes us like that stick of rock. And when people see that and they know that we're a Christian, that brings glory to God. But what if our earthly boss is nothing like Jesus? And the work that we have to do doesn't feel at all like his work? I had a horrible boss once, and it really helped me to remember that I wasn't working for her, I was working for Jesus. It gave me a different perspective that meant I didn't take her comments to heart quite so much. I didn't have to worry about her approval or the approval of my colleagues because I knew that Jesus loved me and he knew that I was doing okay. Working for Jesus gives us a quiet confidence that we can relax into. Paul says that even slaves should obey their masters as they would obey God. But he also tells the slave owners to treat their slaves like Jesus. If you were a boss, would you treat your staff like Jesus? Maybe it's your work that's not good, not Jesus' work at all. Maybe you're under pressure to cut corners or be dishonest or even immoral. If we're in a job that we can't be wholehearted about or that we can't do with honesty and integrity, then maybe we should consider if we're in the right place. It takes faith to make a big change. or to stand by our convictions, but we can do it with the assurance that we're doing God's will, and he will honour that decision. When we see our work as working for Jesus, it stops our career from becoming an idol. If our aim at work is to bring glory to God in everything we do, then other goals become secondary, like making money or going after promotion or being successful. Those things are good because they're gifts from God, but they're not ends in themselves. If we let money or success become our primary goal, then we're getting on a hamster wheel that will never be satisfying, never enough. And we'll become arrogant, thinking that we don't need God to do well. No, God wants us to focus on him first and be guided by him in our work and trust him for the outcome. If we're staying close to God and listening for his guidance, then instead of a hamster wheel, we have peace. The peace of knowing that whatever we're working on, we're living out his will for our life. Romans 12 describes this as being like a living sacrifice, which means that everything we do, including our work, is an offering to God, an act of worship. And if you think about it, most jobs are about helping people. I worked for a cleaning company once, and I was struck by how often we were asked to clean a house for someone coming out of hospital or a family who just had a baby. Cleaning their house was a real blessing for that person. Some jobs very obviously help people, like working in a hospital or a school, but many less obvious ones do too. Can you see your job like that? Or your voluntary work, or your church work, or your family work? Who does your work help, and how? Helping people is an act of love, and where love is happening, it's a sign that God is there. So we can see our work as love and an outworking of God's love for the world. That's why our work matters to God. Sometimes, though, we can lose sight of that, and our job can start to become our identity in an unhealthy way. We feel like our career defines us, and that's why redundancy can hit so hard, and retirement, because that identity is taken away from us. I know what that feels like. I've been made redundant twice. And it took me a while to work out why I felt so bad. And I gradually realized that I was so proud of my job and how it made me look that I saw myself as being that role. It took a lot of prayer and thinking and a bit of crying for me to get it into perspective. Of course, our work does change us and mould us. It's one of the things that makes us who we are. And when God's kingdom comes fully, it will be purified and redeemed along with the rest of creation. But our first identity is as a child of God. So I'm a child of God who happens to work in publishing, not the other way round. Publishing means a lot to me, and I love working in it, but it's only part of who I am. God has given me so many identities, lay reader, kayaker, mother, and all of them boil down to someone who's loved and accepted by God, whatever hat I'm wearing, or none. Without that perspective of knowing that we're God's child first, it's easy for us to be consumed by our work to the point where we can even get the feeling that we're nothing without it. In our culture, that's something that we have to guard against very carefully because society judges us and gives us status based on what job we do or how busy we are. But of course, that's a lie. The only thing that matters is our status as a child of God and where we stand with him. Do we work as hard to please God as we do to please our employer? It's important that we do work hard to please God because Paul says that what we do here has lasting implications for God's kingdom. If we work for God and in line with his will, then what we do will last. If our work is not built on that foundation, then it won't. In our reading, Paul used the analogy of building with silver and gold, or wood and straw. When our work is exposed to the fire of God's judgment, what's made of wood and straw will be burnt away, but what's made of gold and silver will be refined. Revelation 21 talks about a city in the kingdom of heaven, and its buildings are made of gold. Maybe that's the lasting gold building that Paul was thinking of. Our work, building on the work of Jesus and carried out for Jesus, will become part of that eternal city in his kingdom. So what we do here and now, in our work or anywhere else, matters, because it contributes to the building of God's kingdom, not only now, but in eternity. You may have heard the story about three of the builders of Salisbury Cathedral. When a passing traveller asked them what they were doing, the first one said, "I'm laying bricks." The second one said, "I'm building a wall." And the third one said, "I'm creating a cathedral." He caught the vision, and the cathedral that he was building has lasted for 800 years. Like that bricklayer, we mustn't lose sight of our vision. We're not building a kingdom. We're not building a cathedral that will last 800 years. We're building a kingdom that will last forever. And that's the incredible place that our work has in God's world.